105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining us again for this week's edition of BizConnect Radio with myself, Tracy Westall, and the wonderful host,
Martin White.
Good afternoon, Martin. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Tracy. I'm a little bit chilly today.
I know, and it's a little bit wintry out there, but we are in December, so, you know, it's quite fine to be cold and appropriate.
Appropriate. Is it beginning to feel a bit like Christmas?
Well, to be honest with you, the studio's aglow. It's like a little grotto.
I wish our listeners could see our fabulous studio, although they seem to have forgotten to decorate our studio.
Yes, ours is a bit bare, to be fair.
One next door looks fabulous.
It looks like a Santa's grotto.
The office looks amazing.
But there's not even a twinkle and a sparkle in here.
We've got nothing.
We've got nothing. No. But what we do have today is a fantastic guest. We have the wonderful Joe James, OBE, from the Kent Invictive Chamber of Commerce with us today. So there's going to be a lot of discussions about all the different things that have been going on this year so far. And
normally we have two guests, don't we? But because there's so much to cover off with Joe, and we're so lucky to have her because she's incredibly busy, we're going to talk about all sorts of things, aren't we? We're going to talk about coronavirus, post-coronavirus, Brexit, Lower Thames Crossing, all sorts of stuff. Everything's on the table today. So,
But what we'll do is we'll play a tune, I think, and then we'll come back after this.
Okay. See you in a minute.
Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us on the BizConnect radio show this afternoon with myself, Martin White, and my fabulous co-host,
Tracy Westall.
Tracy, it's great to be in the studio. It's fair to say, I think, that people are making sort of preparations for Christmas, understandably so.
Yes, but loads of twinkly lights about.
Two weeks on Friday, isn't it, the big day?
So, I know. Yeah. I know. Have you ordered your turkey?
I haven't actually, because I'm a guest at my mother-in-law's.
Oh, very nice.
So I haven't needed to order one this year, but I have stocked the drinks cabinet in preparation for us hosting them in our little bubble on Christmas Eve. So it's going to be a little bit different this year, isn't it?
It is. It's going to be very different for a lot of people, I think. But I just hope that everyone can just have, as much fun as they possibly can in their little bubble groups. And, you know, and I really, really do hope that we're so close now to seeing the potential end of this, what with the vaccine rollouts. You know, they're going to start doing the rollouts tomorrow. The vaccines are in the UK now and they're still bringing stuff over from Belgium. Mm-hmm. We're so near now. So
we just need to have a little bit more patience, and we'll kind of get through this together. But there are a few events still happening this side of Christmas which we need to tell people about. One of which is the Marsh Networking Group, which meets online every other week, and it's their final Christmas networking this Wednesday at 10:30 in the morning. So that's run by our very good friend Terry Botfield. Down on the Marsh. Obviously, it's open to businesses across Kent. It's a fabulous group, very friendly group. So if you're in need of some festive networking and some cheering up, do join Terry and the rest of us this Wednesday. There is an Eventbrite booking link, or you can find out all the information for that on Supply My Business, supplymybusiness.co.uk. If you have a look on the community page there's a link. And I think there's a £5 donation to a local charity, Calm. Who look after lonely people, really. Elderly, vulnerable and lonely people. So, a very worthy cause.
Very worthy cause, especially this time of year.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people have been really suffering over the last, during the last year with loneliness. So very, very good calls.
Yes. So get your Christmas jumper out and your Christmas hat and join us for some festive networking with the Romney Marsh networking group on Wednesday.
Sounds fabulous.
Well, what have you got?
I actually do run a bi-weekly finance and cash management business support group. Mm-hmm. And our Christmas meeting is on Monday the 14th of December between 12:30 and 1:30. Now, this is a group of knowledgeable professionals all within credit management, cash management, finance. Literally, we have become a fantastic little one-stop shop for all your business needs. Yes, we've been meeting now since April, so it's been going on bi-weekly since April, and we too are going to have our little Christmas meeting. We've even got Kevin, my business partner,
who was on the show recently.
He was. Mm-hmm. He's actually going to be quizmaster, because we're going to have a little quiz in the middle so we're going to try and have a lot of fun. Uh-huh. But obviously the reason that we meet together is that we want to actually help with all our knowledge and skill sets all those businesses that have really, really been struggling. And we're going to be rolling out some really good interviews and some blogs and stuff in the new year, and we're going to have some panel chats and stuff like that. So we really want some businesses, smaller businesses, to engage with us and try and get as much really useful information. Yeah.
So tell me some of the things that you kind of cover off. Is it credit management? Is it access to finance? Is it all of that, I guess?
All of that. We literally go from credit management, you know, invoicing, chasing debt, through to credit insurance, credit referencing, restructuring, turnarounds of businesses, insolvency, you know, unfortunately bankruptcy, or even how to try and avoid that path.
Right.
So there's lots and lots of different people in our group.
We're and it's free to attend.
Free to attend.
And you're free to ask any questions that you want of the panel, presumably on the day.
So. Almost definitely. And if that's something you want to do, but you want to make it anonymous, then you can always just jot a little question in the chat box. I host it all. So, you know, and then we can direct the conversation to the relevant people that are knowledgeable in that area of problems that you're having. So,
so how do we book on? How do we kind of get involved with that?
Well, supplymybusiness.co.uk. I've got the link on there. Thank you, Martin.
Okay.
We also advertise it on LinkedIn, as well as Twitter and Facebook through the Pecunia site. And if you want to get the link but can't find any of these things, please do contact me at tracy@pecunia2016.co.uk and I'll send you the link.
Fantastic. Good. There's something I wanted to just cover off quickly. It's an initiative from Kent County Council as part of their commitment towards zero net carbon and climate change. So they have a fabulous initiative that they're running at the moment called Kent Revs. And this is really targeted at tradespeople, people that need a commercial vehicle in their day-to-day business. And it's an opportunity to try an electric van free for 2 months.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So really exciting initiative there. I've got to get a new car in the new year, and I'm kind of umming and ahhing about, you know, which direction I go in, because I don't envisage doing as many miles, frankly, next year. But for tradespeople, obviously, they are on the road all the time. And, on a kind of an economic level, I would imagine it kind of, it would stack up and it would make sense. So,
It's definitely, have a look into it, most definitely, if that is something you're considering for the future, the near future.
So try before you buy, basically. So you can find out more information about that on the Low Carbon Kent website, which is lowcarbonkent.com. Or you can actually have a look on another website that I run called Green Business Hub. That's greenbusinesshub.eco, and you'll find all of the information on there. But they've had a huge amount of interest for this already.
Yeah, not surprised.
And the fleet, if you like, will be rolling out early next year. So so get in and reserve your electric van.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Brilliant. Excellent.
Tracy, you've got something else that you were going to talk about as well in terms of new business startup support, I think.
Yes. Now, obviously, we've discussed this on previous shows. It's the Let's Do Business group. They have been running a scheme for startup businesses, and I was lucky enough to be a part of that the other week with Lisa Young and her team. If you are thinking about starting up your new business, then by all means have a look at this new startup campaign where you get to do the Herbiz startup program.
That's part of it, isn't it? I think they've just announced the winner of Herbiz from October, November, actually, I think.
Oh, I've missed that.
Today, it's literally, they've just been tweeting about it.
Oh, so have they?
I'll try and find
it.
I'll waffle on about this fabulous thing.
So, yes, the team at Let's Do Business Group, they're on hands to offer so many different things, like free online sessions with one of their specialist business advisors, and they're very, very good. A lot of finance and funding experts there as well. So if you are looking to try and figure out what funding and finance is available to you. Obviously, the Herbiz Startup Program, startup loans that are available. They have free advice sessions as well from approved accountants and approved solicitors. This group is just does so much for smaller businesses. Mm-hmm. And if you want to find out more about them, please do have a look at their website. It's letsdobusinessfinance.co.uk or yet again on the supplymybusiness.co.uk. Have a look at the discussions page on there and all the information's on there for you.
Brilliant. And I have found the information about the winner.
Ooh.
Her name is Stevie. Stevie Tucker. And she is setting up a business called Tales and Trails Veterinary Physiotherapy.
Oh, fabulous.
So if you have an animal, perhaps, it's got a little bit of arthritis, and I noticed one of our moggies is getting a bit old, Tiggy. Yeah. 18 years now, bless him.
His
back legs are starting to go a little bit. So Stevie's setting up a veterinary physiotherapy business, and she is actually the Herbiz October winner. So I believe she'll have won £500.
That's
the cost of starting up her business as well. So congratulations to Stevie.
Congratulations.
There was another Herbiz in November, so we'll wait to find out from Lisa and Roger who the winner of that was.
Yes.
And I'm sure there'll be another one in January and February. It seems to be a really popular ongoing program now.
Yeah.
So fantastic initiative.
Excellent. Stuff.
So if you want to find out more in Kent about startup business support from the Let's Do Business group, the best people to talk to really are Roger Keach and Lisa Young.
Yeah.
They're the kind of people on the ground in Kent. And you'll find them on LinkedIn and, you know,
have a chat with them.
Have a chat, exactly. What have you got to lose? So,
they don't buy it.
No, exactly. They're lovely people.
They are very lovely people.
Good. Tracy, we've been rattling on for 11 minutes now, so
wow.
I think it's time we played a little bit of music.
Yes, please, let's do.
And then we'll come back and I think we'll talk about a couple of initiatives that are happening early next year that people might be interested in as well. So we'll join you after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Kent BizConnect radio show. So we're chatting really about some of the events that are going to be going on after Christmas.
I know.
The new year. Can you believe it? I can't believe it's even December, to be quite honest. Mm. This year's sped through. But yes, Kent and Medway Business Summit. Mm. It's now going to be a virtual conference.
Of course.
And that will be on the 15th of January. Now, Larswold this year was such a great success. Mm. It was a really, really brilliant event.
It's usually held at the Kent Business School at the University of Kent,
isn't it?
That's
right, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's partnered up with the FSB, the Institute of Directors, locating Kent. You know, they've had so many different businesses turn up to this event, and it's really, really good. So yeah, that is going to be on the 15th of January. You can book on Eventbrite, it's £10, or you can find the link to do your booking on supplymybusiness.co.uk. They've got so many different things going on in this event.
Go on, give us the flavour.
Okay, so we're going to have Rebecca Smith from the Kent Business School going to be discussing sponsorships and things like that. We've got Phil Eckersley from the Bank of England.
Oh, good old Phil. They always roll out Phil for these things,
don't
they?
I know. If you've never seen Phil Eckersley from the Bank of England, please just buy a ticket to this event to just listen to Phil. Yeah. He's the most... I love listening to him. Yeah. He's such a great speaker. And he's going to be obviously... you know,
they're brilliant. They're brilliant, aren't they? The Bank of England and Phil, you know, talking about the economy after the event. You know,
they're
so accurate after the event.
Yeah, but he's going to be the latest economic overview, so that'll be really, really good. They've got things like the roadmap to renewal, the Kent and Medway Council's update on regional strategy and business renewal, business impact of Brexit, Professor Anand Menon, Director UK. In charge of Europe and changing Europe.
There's
so many
different... There's a sustainability workshop as well, I think, isn't there?
That's right, in the afternoon.
How can we sort of move towards more sustainable business travel and... All that side of things.
And also placemaking for Kent and Medway, shaping our future high streets, which is something that I'm really keen to, you know, definitely go onto that workshop, because it'd be very interesting to see what they actually come up with.
Yeah. So the point of the day really is to enable business people, people with a vested interest in the business community to come together and help shape future direction and policy with regard to economic development in Kent. I mean, that is the whole point of this. So I think, you know, the whole conference is written up, if you like, and each of the you know, the workshop groups you know, has an agenda
and everything else,
and all of that's fed back in, isn't it? And hopefully you know, presented back and listened to by the powers that be, the people that are actually making the decisions about you know, the future economic direction of Kent. So it's quite an important thing, really.
It is really important. And to be honest with you, there's so many different opportunities as well to network here, meet other people. I know it sounds really weird thing to try and do a virtual conference online, sitting in wherever you're sitting, in home or your office, on a computer, attending a conference. They're using this really exciting platform called Remo. Now, I've been on a few events with Remo, and it's such a really good thing to go on. And you can collaborate and meet people within this whole system that they're actually using for this.
It's a bit more interactive than the ones that we're using day-to-day, is it?
Yes. So it's going to be... It's like you're going to be able to walk around and chat to people, but from your living room, which is very odd, but you know, and as I say, there's plenty of opportunity for networking. They've got some fantastic keynote speakers, they've got some workshops going on there, so please do check it out on the Supply My Biz website, as well as on Eventbrite, and book your tickets now.
And have your say.
If you don't say anything, you'll never get heard.
Exactly. That's a good point. Good. Okay, there's something else that I just wanted to cover off briefly.
Okay.
An organisation called Cyberfort Group, who are based just outside Sandwich, actually, down my neck of the woods. They're actually in an old Cold War bunker down there. Ooh. They've got other offices. They've got one in London and Newbury, but they've got this fabulous old 50s Cold War bunker, you know, where they would have coordinated, you know, our nuclear kind of a nuclear attack response from, you know, with our Vulcan kind of bomber force and what have you. But anyway, it's a secure data center that they run down there, and that really is their business. They're all about cyber security, but they're obviously very very aware that you know, collaboration is the kind of the one of the key buzzwords in business today.
Yeah.
And so they are launching a partner program. So, you know, you might be a firm of accountants, you might be an IT company, for example, and you don't necessarily have access to that kind of specialist cybersecurity resource that is their core business.
Mm.
And so, you know, they'd love to talk to you. They're launching a partner program, and that is very much a referral partner program. So on a kind of business level, it will be good for you, and it will obviously be good for them at the same time.
Mm.
But the point is, it's about, you know, adding another string to your bow, if you like, when you're talking to your clients in terms of being able to signpost them towards this very specialist expertise. And I think cybersecurity is something that everybody is becoming far more conscious
far more
of,
aware of,
and
yes.
aware of, even, you know, on a personal level. You know, the number of kind of, you know, phishing emails that we're getting, or, you know, it's shocking, isn't it, frankly?
It is.
So there's people kind of looking to kind of to take advantage of you at every turn at the moment, sadly. So if you're interested in that, there is an introduction to the Cyberfort Group and their Better Together Partner Program. It's taking place on the 4th of February between 10 and 11 in the morning. And again, that's a webinar event, basically.
Yeah.
And again, you can find out information about that on their website, which is cyberfortgroup.co.uk or .com, I can't remember. And also, again, it's posted in the community page of Supplymo Business, if you'd like to find out more information. So, Tracy, I think that kind of brings us to the end of our kind of wrap-up of what's happening this side of Christmas and immediately after Christmas.
Yeah.
So I think what we'll do is we'll play a little bit more music and then we'll get our star guest on the show.
Oh, yes.
Joe James, OBE, Chief Executive of Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce. So do join us after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Well, welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm delighted to say that we're now joined by Joe James, OBE, who is the Chief Executive of Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to joining you this morning.
Fantastic. I know you're incredibly busy, so it really is a pleasure to have you on the show with us today. It's fair to say that there's an awful lot going on at the moment in Kent, and it's in many ways it's been quite a unique year. But I thought what we would do to kind of set the scene for everybody today is just start with an introduction to you, Joe James, OBE, and who you are and your role within the Chamber, and perhaps your role outside of the Chamber in terms of the economic development for Kent as a whole. So over to you, Joe. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, God, what can I tell you about me? So where do I start on that one? If I start with me personally, I'm married, been married to my husband for 40-odd years. I think I probably got my OBE for that. No, I shouldn't say that. I am very happily married. I would do it all over again. Two children, call them children, although they're sort of in their late 30s. And the love of my life that sits above them all is my 20-month-old border collie.
Oh.
So that's me on a personal note.
Are you Kentish born and bred?
Well, no, I'm not actually. I was born in Warrington in Lancashire. I only lived there for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I went off to Hong Kong.
Oh.
And then I went to Germany, back to Hong Kong, back to Germany. And I moved to England when I was 15.
Okay.
As you can guess, father was in the forces.
Yes.
So, but my grandparents lived in Ashford.
Uh-huh.
So I moved to Ashford. I think I was about 16 when I moved to Ashford.
Okay.
And been here ever since, really. Right.
So what sparked your interest in business? Because I guess you went to work at the Chamber when you were still fairly young. I mean, you've been there for many years now, many years of long service. So you must have been fairly young when you started work at the Chamber, did you?
Well, I'll go on the fairly young one. We'll stick with that. I've I've worked for the Chamber. Well, I joined the Chamber in 1990.
Right.
And it was only ever meant to be a very part-time, short-term job. Basically, I'd done all my training and I used to run a children's nursery, which I absolutely loved working with children. And for a bit of ill health, and I had to give it up for a while I was recovering. And my husband wanted me to stay at home. My children were small, and, you know, till I got well. And everything was going great. I loved being at home looking after the kids. But I've always needed that little something else. And I remember opening the Kentish Express one day, and there was this tiny little ad that said, typist, 12 hours a week. And I thought, you know, he won't moan at 12 hours. He won't mind me being out. I could sit up with the kids. And, yeah, how that went from a typist 12 hours a week to chief executive of now it's a countywide chamber doing sort of 60-plus hours, I'm not really sure. It was never really my plan.
Yes.
But, you know, I've seen so many changes. And the thing is, I think my job has never been the same year in, year out over that period. And, you know, everything has just... Since I started, particularly since I became chief executive in 2008, the chamber just has grown significantly in, one, its geographical trading area, but two, in what we offer and what we do. So there's always new ideas and a different direction, so I never get bored.
Right. So that's been the key.
I need to learn to say no.
Yeah. So that's been the key. I mean, gosh, 30 years... at the chamber, and you talked about the kind of the growth of the chamber. Does that kind of reflect what's happened, you know, in the kind of business marketplace per se in Kent? Has it become a much more dynamic economy in Kent, and therefore you've grown along with that?
Yeah, oh, Kent definitely has diversified so much over that time. And the one thing I love about Kent, and you know, all of you business people in Kent, is you are also entrepreneurial. You know, I just think it's such a buzz working with businesses. You know, everybody's always so forward thinking and is always looking for the positive. And it's just very infectious, really. Mm. But yeah, I have to remember, you know, I am over 60 now, so I did have visions 30 years ago, but by this time I would be very serene and, you know, having a nice laid back life, not working the hours I'm working. I don't know if I've ever been so busy as well, especially this year. But yeah, it's really interesting, and it's great to be able to do something that really makes a difference. And I think the Kent business community is a really tight-knit business community. There's a lot of cooperation goes on and partnership working. And, yeah, it's just kept me there for 30 years, hasn't it?
So you're not planning to retire anytime soon, which is music to our ears.
Yes.
Because we would miss you. We really would. So,
well, there will come a time, but it's not yet.
Good, fantastic. Good. So from humble beginnings to chief executive... of Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce, and presumably the Chamber is there to provide all sorts of business support to businesses in Kent, but you also have a wider remit in terms of the overall economic development initiatives for the county. So just tell us a little bit about the support the Chamber offers, but also your role outside of the Chamber, Joe.
I think that's probably my biggest challenge if I look at it over the years, and that's actually managing that wider aspect of what I do, because as the Chamber's grown and we've gotten really more into economic development and, you know, providing that landscape that's conducive to business growth, actually it's really called on my time, so it's really difficult challenge to have time to run and grow and expand the chamber, because I sit on things like the Kent and Medway Economic Partnership, which is the county's public-private sector partnership where we look at the growth and interventions and support needed for the county. I'm a director of the South East Local Enterprise Partnership representing Kent businesses, so that's looking at a regional basis. I'm heavily involved on various different groups within the British Chambers of Commerce. And then, of course, this year, with the coronavirus pandemic, you know, I'm sitting on numerous committees, groups, whatever you call them, looking at the recovery. So the main one is the economic recovery cell of part of the Kent Resilience Forum, and that's looking at what business interventions and what support businesses in our county are going to need now, but also going forward, and also on the employment and skills side. So I sit on the employment task force looking at, you know, what skills are people going to need in the new world we're going to be in. And of course, sadly, all the redundancies we've had, and we're probably likely going to have the next wave at the end of the furlough scheme. How can we reskill these people that are, you know, sadly going to be made redundant to you know, look at new sectors? So, you know, it's managing all those different elements, because where a business voice is needed, I make sure that the chamber is there providing that that support that's needed, so a business voice is always heard. And at the moment, if you're not careful, that can overtake, you know, the running of the business, because at the end of the day, the chamber's not funded. You know, we are a not-for-profit limited company. So, you know, we have to ensure this sustainability for that. But it really helps, to be honest, by having such a fantastic team.
Of course,
you know, I have an amazing team I can rely on, so I can go out and do all that. And I've got a great board of directors as well, who are always offering their support. So, you know, the Chamber is involved in so many things. It's not just about the membership and all the support we offer for the members. We've got an international department, and as you can imagine, for the last 4 years of Brexit, that's never been so busy. We provide the documentation for those that export. We've got the business support team, who provide business advice, support and guidance, particularly with the coronavirus pandemic. That's, we, you know, that's lifted numbers way up, you know, through the roof. So, you know, every aspect of running a business, the chamber is there to support.
I must ask you, does all this responsibility, and it's a massive brief, does it weigh heavily on your shoulders at times? I mean, are you conscious of that, or is it just kind of par for the course, and you've got used to it over the years?
I think I've got used to it. I think I've got my coping mechanism. I'm not saying that I don't go to bed at night and suddenly wake up early hours of the morning thinking of something, because I wouldn't be human if I didn't. But I think there's measures that you can do, I think there are, you know, things that you can do to offload things off of your brain, so when you go to bed at night, then they're not waking you up. But I did struggle with it to begin with, I have to say, when we first went into lockdown, because I was working from home, and because you're not traveling, I was bouncing from one Zoom meeting to the next, to the next. Where normally I'd be in the car and I'd travel and I'd have all that thinking time to digest what's gone on and what needs to be done. And where I was bouncing from meeting to meeting, I found I was going to bed and my subconscious would just kick in.
Totally wired.
And I just wasn't sleeping. And that, I'll be honest, that went on for the first 2 months, and I thought, this has got to stop, because it wasn't doing me any good whatsoever. But, you know, I put coping mechanisms in place, and I scheduled in times during my day. It's really just really structuring yourself a lot more and writing things down, getting them out of your brain for the night. So actually, you know, everything has its place. So actually, when you do turn off, whatever time it is, you're not still worrying about things, because it can take over. And, you know, mental health and well-being. And it's always been important, but even more important this year with all the additional worry and people working from home. It was great in the summer. You had the doors open. It was lovely and hot and, you know, nice and bright. But now here we are, stuck at home. It's dark. It's cold. And I think you need to look after yourself.
Yeah.
Because no one else will.
No, that's exactly. A really good point. That's really good insight, and thanks for mentioning that. Yeah, it's you know, we forget sometimes. You know, we are just, you know, we're all human at the end of the day, and we all have the same kind of basic needs, don't we?
Yeah.
And mental health is often overlooked, sadly,
especially in winter. Winter is very very horrible time because you don't get a lot of daylight. You know, there's a lack of vitamin D in ourselves and.
You need to go and buy vitamin D tablets.
Yeah, I started taking those, actually. They are a bit like happy pills, you're right.
Yeah, I have mine.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Good. Joe, I think what we're going to do now is we're going to play a little bit of music and then we'll be straight back and we're going to get into some of the detail about what's going on at the moment, how businesses can perhaps prepare for the new year. There's so much to talk about. So bear with us, stay on the line, and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Well, welcome back to Biz Connect Radio, where we've got our lovely guest Joe James here this afternoon. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
So we've been talking just before the music interlude about all the different things that have been happening. So obviously, you know, COVID has been such a drag on our entire year. It's really, really put us in positions that we never thought we'd be in. And obviously now with this Brexit thing as well coming in, you must be so busy trying to sort of find the equilibrium between these two areas, you know, and how have you been finding that?
I think we've been struggling with Brexit for 4 years now, and you know, now we're getting right up to the wire.
Yeah.
And then businesses have now had to contend with the coronavirus, and you know, I just feel so sorry for businesses at the moment. It is really a difficult year to be in business. You know, in and out of lockdowns, and then Kent being put in tier three. You know, it's been really hard for our business community.
What do you feel about that, Joe, on a personal level? Do you think there might have been another way to do it? Could we have done it at local authority level? There seems to be such a huge divergence in terms of, you know, positive test cases throughout the country. Could we have done it at a local authority level, for example?
Well, when you look at Kent and you look at the travel patterns of where people travel across the county, you know, I think it could have been broken down, and I'm not quite sure whether you could have done it at district level, but I think maybe we could have done sort of a little bit more regional within the county. And it's a shame that we've had to go as a one-size-fits-all. And we did do some lobbying along with the MPs to try and make it more localised, but obviously weren't successful there. But, you know, when I'm not surprised we went in Tier 3 because you know, at the time we had Well, which was one of the highest areas in the country. So, you know, you could hardly put, if we're going to lump us all as a one-size-fits-all, we couldn't have gone in anything else bar Tier 3. So I would like it to have been sort of on a more localised level. But then when you think of it realistically, as businesses, we don't see district boundaries. You know, we're travelling, you know, if you're in Tier 3, say in Well, but in Dartford you're in Tier 2, you know, you're going to travel from one area to the other.
Exactly.
You know, we all, you know, so there is that argument against it. We don't see district boundaries of businesses.
No.
You know, we will be travelling all across the county, and unfortunately infection levels will rise across the county, which they are doing now, but it's been devastating for business, particularly when you look at our hospitality and leisure sectors, and not forgetting their supply chains. You know, they've already missed out on the important Easter trading. They've missed out on their summer trade. And, you know, they were really reliant on that Christmas trade. But, you know, now, you know, further closures imposed on them. And for some, it's just going to be, you know, one step too far for many of our businesses in this sector. because they, you know, they just don't have the cash flow.
And food and drink is one of our strengths, isn't it, in Kent? I mean, that's, you know, that's a fantastic industry that's been built up, you know, over the last 10 years or so. We've got some fantastic local producers, and as you say, they're all caught up in this supply chain. If a hospitality business, if pubs, if restaurants aren't open, then, you know, that's going to be a large chunk of their business that's basically gone.
You know, we have got a really growing sector in food and drink, and obviously not forgetting, you know, our leisure and hospitality. After all, you know, we are the Garden of England.
Mm.
And,
yeah.
And I think, you know, sadly, a lot of the supply chain, you know, have fallen between the gaps when it's come to the business support that's been on offer. So, you know, I have real concerns for our hospitality and leisure sectors going forward. But generally, you know, businesses right across the board, you know, have been really struggling, and the government interventions have been so welcomed.
Mm.
You know, they really have been welcomed, particularly, you know, looking at the furlough scheme.
Mm.
Now, I think that has saved many, many jobs, and the fact that that's now been extended, I think, has been a lifesaver, and hopefully will protect some of the jobs going forward. But sadly, so many have actually fallen between the gaps.
Yes.
The government said they're not going to be able to help everybody, and yeah, of course they can't help everybody, but you know, that it makes you realise then how many newly self-employed people there are, you know, that haven't been trading long enough, and actually how many actually limited companies of people that work from home and take a dividend as against taking and putting themselves as PAYE. Yeah. You know, that they found themselves wanting. You know, they just fell right between the gaps, and I think there's a huge amount of anger from these people, as they felt that they've been doing the right things.
Yeah.
They've been paying taxes, and actually they've received nothing in return.
Yeah.
And we've lobbied for the government, you know, on a national level as well, to try and support. But the government seems to have this thinking that, actually, you know, those people who have their own business and they take dividends and not PAYE, you know, all holiday in the south of France and have yachts.
I know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, Joe, we've all got yachts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what they think.
Yeah.
But actually, most of the times, it's just the way that the accountant has suggested that they set the business up.
Yeah. And in fact, in many ways, the government has encouraged us to set up limited companies, you know, in the first instance. Mm. Tracy, I know this is something you're very close to. There's a whole campaign around this now, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a member of the Excluded UK Forgotten Limited, and I've been on many of the Metro Mayor's webinars, and I know that this Wednesday in the House of Commons at Westminster Hall, on Wednesday, there's going to be a big debate about it.
Mm.
But yeah, you're right, Joe. I mean, there's so many businesses out there that need that help now, because these are the businesses that are actually going to be helping the economy in the future. Mm. But we could talk about it for ages.
It's good to hear you banging the drum there as well, Joe, because you know, it's over 3 million people we're talking about here, so it's not a small number.
We're not talking small numbers.
No.
You know, and they're the ones that are all paying their taxes. That are actually enabling the government to give all this support to everyone else.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I think
and that's the frustrating thing. They're just not being recognised.
Yeah.
I think we should come back to this after the news.
Okay. we're going to take a little break there again, Joe, if we can. We've got some more music on the way as well, but we'll be straight back after this, so bear with us.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
We're back. Thank you for staying with us today. We have got the fabulous Joe James, OBE, with us, Chief Executive of Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce. Tracy, we'll go over to you quickly, because we just wanted to finish the discussion that we were having around Excluded UK and everything that's going on there. It sounds to me like that might be gaining a little bit of momentum at the moment there, in terms of that lobbying.
Yeah, it has. And it's quite interesting, Joe. I mean, obviously you read the media and everything, because obviously the large supermarket chains have just given back their business rates money.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that a lot of the Metro mayors have lobbied the Treasury to say, you've got this money back, you need to help these 3 million. Mm-hmm. And as you rightly say, Joe, you know, there's a lot of businesses out there that have been excluded. We need to make sure that they are not excluded, because fundamentally, these are the small businesses that are going to be able to employ these people that unfortunately are going to be made redundant and build the economy back up in the future. And I know you said, Joe, that obviously as your role within the Kent Invicta Chamber and the British Chamber, you guys have also been helping lobby that as well.
Yes, we identified that obviously earlier on that it was one of the ones that fell through the gap, and actually knowing, you know, what a huge proportion of the business community it actually is, it did seem very unfair and unjust. But you know, sadly, lobbying today has just fallen on deaf ears, which is frustrating for the business owners and frustrating for us as business representation organisations.
It strikes me also, Joe, that this time round, you know, the second lockdown, I think in many ways feels like it's going to be a lot more damaging than the first. The level of support, you know, furlough aside, and that I think came with its own issues in terms of how late, you know, the Chancellor brought that to the table in terms of the full furlough scheme as opposed to the viable job scheme, which it was before. There seems to be less support under lockdown too, because, you know, the government seemed to view that as a four-week period when, of course, you know, business doesn't work like that. You know, you don't go from zero to ramping up your business, you know, to full capacity, you know, 1 week after lockdown. It's going to affect you pre-lockdown, and it's going to affect you now, crucially, particularly in Kent under Tier 3 post-lockdown. So the level of support just doesn't seem to be quite there for me at the moment overall.
No, I think the government is, you know, they have scaled back, and it's probably to do with the sheer amount of borrowing that we've had to do. It's not me, the government. Well, it is. It's all our money.
It's all our money.
Yeah. I probably won't be. Yeah. I will certainly won't be around by the time, you know, the next generation's finished off paying for it. You know, all this has to be paid back at some point, and it does make you wonder, actually, you know, how much. Actually, it's going to have that impact. So if you look at how much the furlough scheme has cost the country, and then you think, well, that's all about protecting jobs, which is fantastic. But actually, what we don't know is when that furlough scheme ends, actually, are they viable jobs? Are we going to get to the end? And actually, all we've done is just kicked it further down the road, which I think, sadly, is going to be the case in so many instances.
Yeah.
So, you know, the government can't keep borrowing. I do get that. But, you know, so they can't give everything to everybody. But there are specific gaps, like what we've just spoke about, that actually really do stand out. And, you know, they are people who have been paying their taxes and really inputting into the economy, and the government has just left them high and dry.
And these are businesses.
We really did try to push with our lobbying. You know, if there's going to be further support, let's not leave these people out. Sadly,
we are where we are.
And whether the government will listen to all the lobbying that's going on by all of us. But there is an opportunity on a local level, because there's just been some additional funding being put down to local authorities, and it's discretionary funding. So, you know, we're trying to lobby within local authorities, because they're discretionary grants, to have a look at that group to see if there's something that can be done.
But again, that's a good case in point. You know, first time round, they were up to a value of £10,000. This time round, they're up to a value of £1,300. So, you know, it's the support has been diluted there.
It's got to, though, to be honest, you know, being really honest, because, you know, as a country, you know, can we afford to keep doing it? You know, there is that side of it. But it's so unjust and so hard when, you know, through our COVID support line that we run, through our business support, through the Growth Hub, I mean, we've We've had over 15,000 businesses we've supported.
No, it's incredible.
We've had over 6,000 business advisory sessions. And, you know, it's heartbreaking, some of the calls that you have. You know, business owners who have had a business for many, many years, they've had a bounce back loan, they've, you know, that they've taken advantage of the furlough scheme, taken all the support, but actually if the trade's not there or they, because we're in tier three, they're now just totally closed. You know, and you've got some people who, you know, they are absolutely desperate, desperate. And that's...
It's heartbreaking.
It really is. It's very hard to, to actually speak to business owners and take those calls because you can't help, you know, taking it to heart yourself. And that's when I said at the beginning about that I think mental health and well-being is so important, particularly at the moment, because some people are struggling so much.
Definitely.
Yeah, and sadly, a lot of us, you know, we bottle that up inside, don't we? We don't have an outlet for that. And it just kind of, it just degenerates then into a serious health issue. And, yeah, it's very, very sad. Joe, I want to move on a little bit, if we can now, and perhaps talk about... you know, what the future might look like post-coronavirus. We've had a lot of messaging coming out of Number 10 over the past few weeks and months about building back greener and Boris's vision for, you know, a greener economy, which, you know, frankly, before coronavirus, that was the topic that was on everybody's lips. You know, it was climate change. And, you know, that hasn't gone away, that problem. You know, we as you say, you know, to coin a phrase, we just kind of kicked that can down the road a little bit. But it's coming back now. And the government has kind of set out its 10-point plan. And Boris has talked about a green industrial revolution. I just wanted to get your steer in terms of how you see the future of working. I mean, I used to drive to Dartford every other week for a networking meeting, for example, and I'd be on the road at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it would, you know, I live in Thanet, and it, from the Brenly corner roundabout, it would be nose to tail with people driving into the city to go and work. You know, is that clearly isn't sustainable, and how do you see things changing perhaps in the future, Joe?
Well, it's interesting looking at the plan. I mean, I think the one I hope that people listening, you know, haven't just gone out and invested thousands and thousands of pounds in their sort of car for life if it's not electric, because apparently by 2030 we're going to be in electric cars. But, you know, business is going to change. I think the pandemic has taught us that. And actually, I think it will change for the good. Just for the reasons you've said. And I think we will, I think we'll have a more blended approach to work. Some will work totally from home, but we won't go back to the big offices we used to have. I think there'll be a blended approach of so many days in the office, so many at home, a much more flexible approach to work. And I think if businesses don't do that, I think actually, you know, they will start to fall behind. And I think the one thing, if I take us as a chamber, you know, once the coronavirus hit and the impact, actually, I had to sort of adopt a startup mentality because the marketplace I had pre-COVID was gone. So, you know, we couldn't go out to network. We couldn't organize face-to-face networking events. We couldn't go out and see people. For business advice, we couldn't go out and see people to recruit for the chamber. So actually all this had to transition online. But actually how well that has happened, and I think it's taught all of us that actually we don't need to travel from one end of the county to go to a networking event. Think how much of our time we're saving by not being stuck at Brendy Corner, as you said. Think of the cost. And obviously, the impact we're having on the environment as well. So, I do hope we learn from this. I do. I, you know, I wouldn't want, you know, for this to suddenly be over, then everybody gets in their cars and heads off, because I think we would be taking a backward step. So, I you know, there is still that need for human interaction. Because God, am I missing that? You know, there is still that need. But as again, it's all about blended. A blended approach going forward, and I think, you know, people will be meeting more online. We'll have much greater use of technology than we've ever had before, which actually has been a government push, you know, is to, you know, how do we get businesses to really look at, you know, digitalization and, you know, how that actually helps with efficiencies and productivity. But what we need to do is we've all very quickly had to learn Zoom, Teams, you know, all those platforms.
Which were already there, we just weren't using them.
No, they weren't, we weren't, you know, webinars. We're using them, but what we need to learn now, you know, what we need now at the next phase is how do we use that technology to really, not just to make do, but to really grow the business and grow the economy.
Make better, yeah.
You know, that's what we need to do. We're using it, but we're not maximizing it for business and for the economy. Yeah. So things will change, you know, but I think they will change for the better.
Yeah, no, I think it's really potentially, it's very exciting, isn't it, Jo? I mean, you've got, the government are clearly talking about, you know, creating live-work communities. You know, so, you know, you live somewhere and actually you also work, you know, from the town or the, you know, all the village that you actually live in. And I think, you know, they hopefully the kind of the money that people might have spent outside of their immediate community will come back into that community. Yeah. And so smaller businesses, hopefully, you know, will look at that as kind of an opportunity to start up. Perhaps, you know, whether it's a small, you know, coffee shop or whatever it might be. And, and I think, you know, you know, the one thing that kind of standing on our doorstep at 8 o'clock every night, you know, once a week taught us was this kind of sense of community, I think, wasn't it? And that, again, that was something positive that, that came out of it, Jo.
Yeah, I think, you know, the one thing when you know, if we do start to really use technology and not get on the roads, the one thing we will do, we'll start to invest in our locality, and actually we'll create local circular economies, you know, which is going to be great in supporting those local businesses. Yeah. So, yeah, I think the future's really exciting.
Yes.
It's going to be challenging because the one thing for us to be able to do this, we've got to have the infrastructure. Yeah. You know, we talk about infrastructure, we're always thinking of, you know, roads, train thing, but actually it's the digital infrastructure.
That's the key.
We need to have the broadband, we need to have the mobile connectivity. And the one thing that, I mean, I was on a meeting last week with KCC looking at what they're doing with this, and actually Kent is ahead of the curve when it actually comes to looking at, you know, our broadband and speeds, and you know, there's this whole talk now about a gigabyte rollout, and you know, and when we've still got parts of our rural communities that, you know, I don't even think they can manage a dial up. But there's work now going now looking at these hard to reach areas, so we can at least start to get a level playing field across the county. So I think that is a top priority now for at a county level, a region level and a national level. So, you know, I think we will start to see that big steps being made in that area because, you know, we can't all want to work from home and the government want efficiencies if we haven't got the tools to be able to do the job.
Yeah. And frankly, Jo, that seems like a much easier win than building a Lower Thames Crossing.
Yeah, well,
in terms of, you know, the number of years, the investment, you know, the CO2 emissions, and, you know, I mean, that seems like a you know, quite a tall order. When actually we can improve the digital infrastructure, as you say, and connectivity that way. So,
but I will say, I, you know, I wouldn't be me if I didn't want my cake and eat it. I wouldn't be me, and those who know me would agree with that one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Digital, you know, the digital connectivity is paramount. But actually, for the future growth for the southeast, so is the Lower Thames Crossing.
Okay, all right.
You know, so you know, I want both. I want the digital infrastructure, and I want the Lower Thames Crossing.
Okay, well, we'll have to. We'll have to disagree on what order they come in, perhaps. Anyway, what we'll do is we're going to play a little bit more music, and then I think we need to come back and talk about Brexit, because, you know, this is looming large now, and it's in the news every day, as it was again this time last year, or previously. So we're going to play a bit more music, and then we'll come back, and I think we'll finish today on Brexit, if we can, Joe. So just bear with us, and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect,
the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Well, welcome back all to Kent Biz Connect and our fantastic guest today, Joe James. We're on the last straight of this show.
We are.
And sadly.
So quickly.
It has. I'm not sure it'll seem like that for the listener. Let's hope so. Fingers crossed.
So dare we start discussing Brexit, I ask myself. Mm. There's been a lot of things going on in the news. Mm. So over to you, Joe. Mm. Can you,
Where do you start?
Enlighten us.
Yeah. We've been talking about Brexit for must be about 4 years now. Unbelievable, really, isn't it? In business, we make a decision and we go with it. And, and here we are now, right down to the wire, and the government still haven't decided whether we're having a deal or we're not having a deal.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, there's talk we might hear something today, but, you know, will we or won't we? Well, let's wait and see that one. But the problem is, now, we're just running out of time now.
Mm. Yeah.
And the thing is, there are still so many unanswered questions.
Mm.
You know, whatever the two sides agree, and, you know, even if they come with a deal today, you know, there's still changes, regardless, happening at our border.
Yeah.
And as things stand, businesses just do not have the information that they need. And time is running out fast. You know, they need to know about their tariffs.
Yes.
You know, they haven't published the tariff codes yet, about quotas. Mm. And, you know, how is a business supposed to plan ahead if it doesn't know what its point is?
It's impossible, isn't it? I mean, you know, businesses have been backed into a corner here. It's all very well saying, you know, there will be a new customs declaration procedure, and for businesses to get their heads around that, that's one thing. Although, you know, all businesses ultimately are unique. They are quite different. I joined your seminar on Brexit last week, the Chamber seminar in Aldeia, and I was listening in to some of the businesses there. And the thing that struck me, Joe, was that they are all individual businesses, all with their own a different way of doing business on the continent. And there isn't a one-size-fits-all solution, therefore. You know, it's not a question of just downloading a template and that's the one you use. And because all businesses work differently in terms of how they trade in the EU. So that's one thing. But then if you don't actually know whether or not there's going to be any tariffs, you know, quotas, as you say, and being able to build that into your pricing structure, then, you know, you're not going to be able to do that in the time that we've got left between now and the end of the year, are you?
No, that's the problem. It's now, it's December, that, you know, our exporters are getting their goods ready to go out in, you know, January and February. But actually, how are they going to price those up when they don't know what the tariffs are?
Yeah.
They still don't know questions like, you know, what are the rules of origin? What's going to apply after the transition period?
Yeah.
You know, there's so much. And as you say, our exporters are also different. At the Chamber, we deliver all the export documentation. So we know firsthand the differences. Mm. But, you know, we're here as a Chamber to help, so people can call us because they are all unique. But actually, unless the basics are there, like, you know, what are the tariffs, what are the quotas, what rules of origin do you need?
Mm.
Actually, do you need a certificate of origin or don't you need a certificate of origin?
Mm.
You know, and until we've actually got those questions, once we've got the answers, we can talk people around what they need to do.
Yeah.
But actually, if the answers aren't there, you can't.
Yeah.
In a customs declarations, that's the one thing that we've set up at the Chamber and we've set up nationally. So we've now got people trained in the Chamber to deliver customs declarations, because that's something that everybody's going to have to do. They've never had to do that before.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a huge demand for customs. And I must admit, they're very complicated. Mm. They are. They're not an easy thing for business to get their head around. So, you know, if anybody's listening and they do export, you know, just go online and really start to brief yourself now. And, and I think that's the one thing that worries me about Brexit. So many businesses actually aren't preparing.
Mm.
I think there is this misconception that if we have a deal, I don't need to do anything.
Yes.
But actually, if we have a deal, whatever happens,
yes,
changes are coming at the border.
Yes.
And you need to do something. Mm-hmm. So there's so much preparation you can do now.
Yeah.
So, you know, the businesses who export need an EORI number.
Mm.
You know, they need to look at a customs broker. There's all these things.
Do I need an agent in that country working on my behalf? Because, you know, that's part of it, a fundamental part of it as well, isn't it?
Yeah, there's so many things. But so there are some basics on the government website that you can, or go to the Chamber website. Mm. That's probably the most easy, you know, it's in easy to understand language.
Mm. Yeah.
Without having to read through reams and reams.
Mm. And you've just made all your seminar materials from last week available as well, haven't you, I think?
Yeah, everything's online there. So I think the Chamber website probably be a good place to start.
Mm.
Because, you know, small businesses just aren't preparing at the moment.
Mm.
Mm.
And I think it's no good getting to the 1st of January and then going, oh, my God, what do I do now?
Mm.
It's too late.
Yeah.
You know, they really do. Time is running out.
Yeah.
And they really do need to start doing something about it now. And
there is, I believe, going to be a period of grace, isn't there, in the new year for 6 months or so where, you know, businesses will still effectively be able to transition to the new customs declarations and things like that without having too much angst around whether they've done it correctly or incorrectly. So I think there is some pragmatism there in terms of, you know, a sort of a period of grace in the new year. But as you say, you know, that's still only going to be 6 months. I mean, the reality is we left Europe at the end of, last year. You know, that happened. We're now in a transition period. We're no longer in the EU. But again,
and I think this grace period, I think it's good coming in the country.
Mm.
You know, we've got a 6 month grace period, but actually, look at the new documents are going to come from the 1st of January going out of the country.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So if you export, you know, you've got to have things in place from the beginning of the year. And,
yeah.
And you know, government really doesn't, to be honest, it needs to pull its finger out.
Mm.
And one way or the other, you know, either we're not going to be able to reach a deal and we're going to go on WTO rules, or we are going to have a deal.
And that's impossible.
So frustrated,
as you can hear in my voice.
Yeah. No, it's impossible for businesses. You know, have I got to absorb that tariff? You know, is that going to hit my margin? Can I actually continue to operate profitably on an export basis if I'm now having a margin erosion because I'm having a tariff, imposed on my goods? I mean, it's just mind-boggling. But, Joe,
and
I want
to make you competitive because that's the thing.
Mm, exactly.
And what we're finding now is actually quite a few of our exporters are reporting now that actually they're already starting to lose orders because of continual delay by government and uncertainty, they're actually going, you know, elsewhere within the EU.
Yeah. Customers the other end have made other, found another supplier. Yeah.
You know, if I was a school teacher and I was looking at Brexit, I would have done 1 out of 10 could do better.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I must just ask you in terms of the infrastructure and how that's going to affect, you know, the wider community in Kent, because, you know, there's been all this scaremongering around, you know, Operation Stack and Manston, and then there's a new customs area, I believe, holding area being built around Ashford. You know, what is the kind of contingency planning, Joe, to avoid a kind of Kent gridlock scenario? Is it in place or isn't it? Or do we just not know?
Oh, no, we do know. No, no, there is some. I will say, it might not be publicly, you know, splashed across the papers at the moment, because I think when you look at it, all it is about, you know, delays, Operation Stack. But actually on a county level, you know, I will say hats off here to KCC in the district. There has been a lot of work, and I've been, you know, pleased to see that. Actually, I've been privy to some of that through the groups that I sit on, and actually preparing Kent the best it possibly can.
Yeah.
Obviously, nothing is future-proof here. You know, it's new territory for everybody. But, you know, we've got the likes of Manston. We've got the removable barrier on the M20. There's another area going down for lorries down in Dover. We've got the expansion of the existing lorry park in Ashford, and then obviously the new area that's been built just off of Junction 10 as well. So there is the capacity around all of that to keep Kent's roads moving. But a lot of this depends on whether the drivers have actually gone through, again, if business is prepared and gone through the right process, because they need, I don't know, I'll call it your Kent Pass, you know, for drivers to show that actually you've got all your paperwork, you're coming into Kent, you've got all your paperwork, and you're allowed to go straight down to the border. It's those that aren't prepared and come in and haven't got the paperwork that then have to then come off of the motorway to go in to get their paperwork, etc., etc. So, you know, there's a whole lot of work going on, especially by the Freight Transport Association, to really make sure that all our freight companies and transport companies, you know, are really prepared as much as they can be, because that's where the problem will come. That's where the problem will come. Do I think we're seeing all the preparations? I think they're prepared as much as they can do for a county. But I, you know, is everybody from day one going to know exactly what they're doing, though? We are, you know, are we going to have a period of upheaval? I think yes.
Undoubtedly.
You know, but, you know, a lorry driver's not going to do it twice, are they?
No, they're that's what I was just going to say.
The county, have to go through all that rigmarole once they get there, going back up, getting their paperwork. So they'll only do it once. So, yeah, I don't think it will be prolonged.
Jo, it's been absolutely fabulous having you with us today, and you are a voice of calm.
Yes.
In, I think, what's fair to say, a stormy channel at the moment.
I feel so relaxed about
future. I do. I think you should, when you do retire, I think you should become a therapist. And a business therapist, because frankly, we all need one at the moment.
She won't be retiring if she does that.
My mantra's always been never to worry about what you can't control.
Absolutely. No, that's and that does help you sleep at night. You're absolutely right.
It certainly does. But it's been lovely talking to you both.
It's been really nice.
It's been
super. Thank you so much for your time. And we will get you back on in the new year when all of this kind of shakes out. And we'll kind of reset and we'll go again. So fabulous. But for now, Jo James, OBE, Chief Executive of Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce. I think I've got all of that right. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll catch up with you again very soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jo.
Cheerio. Bye for now.
Bye.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Well, Tracy, what a wonderful guest Jo was today.
Oh, do you know, I've got so much time for Jo James. She works so hard. And, you know, from somebody who was going for a 12-hour a week job to running the Invicta Chamber.
For 60 hours a week, so times that by five.
Oh, yeah. Dear, she's such a lovely person.
She is.
And she works so hard for businesses in Kent.
She does. And that obviously is why she is a, you know, an OBE, because, you know, the service that she's provided and delivered over the last sort of 30 years at the Chamber speaks for itself.
Exactly.
So thank you, Jo. That was wonderful. Tracy, when are we next on?
Do you know what? Our last show is on the 21st of December.
That's Christmas week.
Oh, I know. Ho, ho, ho.
Are we not on holiday?
No holiday for us. Oh, no.
Maybe from the Tuesday.
But we've got some fantastic special guests.
We will have. We're not going to talk about them now, but they're not a million miles from us. But so we'll have a Christmas special, and we'll have a bit of fun and a bit of frivolity.
Yes, definitely.
And Christmas jumpers and hats. Not that anybody can see that, because we've got a face for radio, not
exactly.
TV.
Well, you have. Speak for yourself.
But we hope you can join us then. So we'll be back on the 21st for another BizConnect, the final one of 2020. Goodbye, 2020.
Yes.
And good riddance.
Yes. We'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon. Bye for now.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect. Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world. Tweet us at Kent_biz.